let's be clear. There is no amount of consumption that will make Black women worth it in some people's eyes. We cannot consume our way to perceptions of equality. It's not going to happen.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Fast Forward Podcast. Today's episode is the season 4 finale. First of all, I cannot believe that we are through a whole other season again. I'm actually really proud of this season. I feel good about everything that we've covered. I think that it was a really good mix of topics. And I love the guests. Of course, my guests are always such a fun time to record with, talk with. Y'all see the conversations that we record, but then we end up talking before, after. It's just always so meaningful. And I've also liked the conversations that they have encouraged. So people reach out to me all the time on the side. Clients bring them up and ask additional questions. So I've loved it. But I want it to end. So, of course, I'm going to be ending by discussing the fourth and final change shift, which is structure. So I'm going to get to that in a second. But what inspired this focus for today is the conversation around Megan Sussex and how Black women's lifestyles, disposable income, aesthetic, image, relatability, because that came up a million times, how all of that is perceived in the media and by non-Black people. And at first I was going to talk about that part of it, but then I realized that's not my focus. Like, I don't spend time talking to detractors. That's not of interest to me. My goal is to support and empower the protagonist subject of the conversation, my sisters. That's the whole point of this thing. Before I wanted to address it, I wanted to sit with myself though and see, like, well, what is it that I'm feeling about it? And as I prepared for filming these episodes for this month's topic, it became clear the direction I was going to go with it. I wanted to specifically talk about Black women's aesthetic as homemakers and lifestyle experts, if you will, because I think that's an integral part of structure, because so much of how many Black women approach that at all socioeconomic levels is a function of our ostracism from traditional aesthetics of femininity. Most times the Black woman's aesthetic is seen as being the anti-woman. So when you think about common stereotypes, and I actually talk about this in my anti-racism training, that's a whole experience. If you ever get to sit in on that, it's a joy. But the stereotypes, so if you think about the Sapphires, the Mammies, Jezebel, right? All of these people who are not just the opposite of what ideal womanhood is, but it's the absence of these qualities too. So the idea that there is an absence of intuition, an absence of sensuality, an absence of intelligence, an absence of relatability, in absence of being able to create nurturing environments and to nurture, unless that becomes your whole personality. And then there's the absence of self-sufficiency, right? It's like all of these layers to it. And as I looked at the conversation around With Love, Megan, first of all, I don't have Netflix because I just do not want to pay for TV. I don't watch TV enough to justify paying for any type of TV at all at this point. I just don't watch TV, and I just got tired of paying money. So I haven't seen episodes, but I've seen clips. And of course, I've seen the conversation. And I think even that lens has given me an interesting perspective.
Now, to be fair, I grew up and spent most of my life loving all of those lifestyle cooking shows. So the B. Smiths of the world, who is absolutely iconic, Ina Garten, who else? Rachel Ray, Sandra Lee, Martha Stewart, of course, Giada De Laurentiis, I think that's her last name. Who else? Nigella Lawson, all of those folks. I mean, that's like old school Food Network. They got some, it was the Cooking Channel. Now that's the newer one. But that was what TV was, even TLC and even the men's shows. So Mario Batali, Emeril Lagasse, like all of those men, Alton Brown, just dope cooking shows, the Neelys, their show. So I grew up watching that. I spent a lot of time watching those TV shows, loved them. That's honestly where I got a lot of my cooking technique, even though I wasn't using it then. As I got more into cooking in my 20s and my 30s, I would remember tips in the science of how they would talk about food and all of that stuff, tablescapes, plating, all kinds of good stuff. So when I heard about Megan Sussex's show, I was like, oh, this is like old school lifestyle. And it's crazy that that's considered old school, but it's like the old school shows that they used to put on TV. That's dope. So to see the pushback of this isn't relatable, then with some lady who ironically is a woman of color on a morning show talking about it's a Marie Antoinette moment, let them eat cake. I mean, just silly rhetoric that clearly is designed to get a rise out of Black women and Megan Sussex herself. And that part didn't bother me, right? Because I expect that type of foolishness and those types of shenanigans, because people just have to be contrarians. Like, folks don't care about what attention they get. They just want attention. They don't care if you're talking bad about them. They don't care if you're flooding their comments with all types of name calling, yelling. They just want attention. These attention seeking behaviors, I call them ASBs. You see them everywhere, and social media is rife with them. A part that got me and where I had to sit back and reflect myself and why I did this episode has been an overwhelming number of Black women's response to this. Now, I want to say like 90% of the responses have fallen into this category I'm about to name, and like 10% of the responses have fallen into what my response is going to be through this episode. And that's why I want to bring this up. The overwhelming majority of responses I've seen has been, oh, you didn't think that Black women knew how to do homemaking and make teas and set tablescapes and cook from scratch and cook in Le Creuset pots and pans all clad. You didn't think we knew how to do that? Oh, well, let me show you my collection. Let me show, this is what I did. Let me show off my house. Now, I'm all for a good social media challenge where it's like, show us your color, show the rainbow. People do it with clothes, shoes, food, cars, houses, all kinds of stuff. You know, it happens. But this particular set of responses was so concerning to me because it wasn't Black women, or my perception was that it wasn't Black women affirming one another and trading tips and creating almost like a virtual sister circle of ideas. It was, let me prove to you that I can, which to me, I interpret as, let me prove to you that I'm worthy. And that is problematic. That's where I was like, uh-uh. Now, to be clear, I am a woman who has always invested in my kitchen. I will never get in the first apartment I ever got on my own. I was in undergrad. I was sleeping on a pallet on the floor, but my whole kitchen was decked out. Now, true enough, it was like, you know, bottom tier dishes from like either Walmart or Target or something like that. But it was important to me to have a fully loaded kitchen even before I had a bed and a mattress. Why this was important, I don't know. But I had my kitchen lined up, and that pretty much has continued in every home that I've ever had. One of the biggest big girl transitions that I made for myself, especially in my 30s post-divorce, was to invest in quality, like high quality cookware, bakeware, dinnerware, flatware, except the whole thing. And I'm proud of that. I love what I have. When I bought my first home, I actually replaced many of the things that I had. I'd already started replacing my cookware with high quality pieces, but I did it with like all of my other accoutrements for the kitchen and utensils and all kinds of stuff. And it makes a difference. Like, let me be clear. When you're using high quality materials, you notice a difference in your cooking. Let me repeat that again for you, little sis. When you use quality inputs, whether that's the ingredients, the utensils you use, the techniques, the quality matters to the final product. So even if it's something as simple as a grilled cheese or a pancake, the types of spatulas you use, the types of griddle you use, the type of oil you use, flour, all of that does make a difference. And so quality does impact final product. So I'm not saying like you just buy anything. No, it's a reason why I bought investment pieces. But I didn't buy them to prove that I could for somebody else, especially the strangers on the internet, and especially the people who I'm pretty sure are committed to misunderstanding. Let's be clear. There is no amount of consumption that will make Black women worth it in some people's eyes. We cannot consume our way to perceptions of equality. It's not going to happen. So if you find yourself buying things, investing in things, working places, living in places, doing activities, vacationing places because you want the approval of others and especially of non-Black folks, you can go ahead and just stop that right now, babe. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Now, because I know that for a particular subset of Black women, non-white women's approval matters more than they care to admit, I know the why for some of these folks. And I also know that just like in any caste system, the approval of those Black women matters to Black women who want to be seen as important as them. That's their why. I'm not necessarily talking to either of those groups because they're going to continue to do their performance regardless because it's ingrained in them. They have internalized it. It feeds their ego and they know they want it. It's a game. But for people who might not understand that that was the game that's at play, let me school you real quick. Showing off your prized possessions says more about your bruised ego than it does about your ops insult. Again, it says more about you than them. Because I refuse to show off my prized possessions, my legacy heirlooms that I plan to pass down through generations, just like certain things were passed down in my family, to strangers on the internet so that you will think that my entire race of women is not uncool. I don't care enough about your perspective to do that. Like, I just don't. I don't care. Now, interestingly enough, I do post cooking videos on one of my personal profiles. And honestly, I only started that personal profile up because I didn't just want my whole digital footprint to be like all business. I wanted some of my personality to show through. And I was like, you know what? The low stakes investment of this is just showing cooking stuff. Like, it's fine. It's just food that I ate. Most of it's not in real time, right? Yeah, I posted sometimes even weeks after I cooked something. But I'll just show this the plate, right? Or this what I ate, or hey, this what I'm cooking because I'm excited about it. And I do love cooking. So to be clear, this is like a real hobby. Again, it's an aspect of my personality I'm comfortable showing. But I am very, very intentional about, especially video, right? The parts of my house that I show, like y'all, this is my real office. It is a real wall, right? Because sometimes people are like, is that a background? Is this real? But I only show y'all this part of my office. I don't go filming and doing stuff all over my house. I don't even take meetings all over my house. I don't take video most of the time, even on my whole stove. I used to post pictures sometimes of like the tablescape because I usually get a bouquet of flowers every week and it rotates like whatever color I'm feeling or whatever type of flower might be in season and I like the way it looks. And I've even kind of stopped that because I don't, just for some reason, I was like, I don't know if I feel comfortable showing more parts of my home, right? Because not only is it a safety concern because people are getting outrageous with stuff, but also I don't need you seeing, critiquing, whether it's positive or negative critique. I'm not interested in hearing strangers' perspectives. And I bring this up because I really want Black women to step out of the need to be affirmed by folks who are committed to misunderstanding and mislabeling us. Yes, there are going to be people who will become allies to the fight that Black women have to fight for equality. But it's a whole bunch of people that's just never going to get on board with that. Those aren't my people. And I'm not interested in converting them. So for today's episode, and you probably saw it in the thumbnail, I actually want to bring up some of our favorite, quote unquote, bougie Black girl aesthetic folks. These are the Hillary Banks, the Regines of the world. These are the rich girls who are super rich, Lisa Turtles of the world, who are super rich, beautiful, know it, and are not interested in hearing your opinions about it. They don't need your affirmation. They just doing them. And I love that for them. Them flaunting their wealth was really just them existing. And they never backed down. And again, I really want you to like sit with that, because even when we think about like a Moesha, Tia and Tamera and Sister, right? These were at the very least middle class, like solidly middle class girls and young women. And we saw it as them flaunting it. It's so funny because now as a person who can do many of the things that they were doing, I'm like, why would I consider that flaunt? Like they literally just doing them. But it was considered flaunting because there was a perception that they shouldn't have been able to. But that never stopped them from just fully embodying who they are and just being themselves. And in most cases, you know, it's interesting, even when they would have a more diverse friend group, I appreciate that for the most part. Like every now and then you will see an episode that will come up that would deal with this. But for the most part, regardless of how diverse or homogenous their friend groups were, it never stopped them from just embodying and being who they were. And they never let that become a, oh, they're this because. It was like, no, I am. And that's the point that I really want Black women to get to. So you can show off 35 high-end pots and pans. If somebody is convinced of a perception of Black women's inferiority, some ecru-colored pots, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not going to change that, right? And I would rather you invest your self-esteem and your public displays of wealth in something that's going to affirm the community, right? Like, that's where I would want us to invest our digital footprint, because we have little girls that are coming up behind us. Ironically, I was at an event recently. And it was a room filled with women, many of whom were Black women who were, again, at the very least, middle class, accomplished, educated, many very affluent. I mean, like some heavy hitters in this room. And there were a lot of teen girls as well, because that was a part of the purpose of the event. And it was interesting because what kept being highlighted was kindness, empathy, care for yourself, care for others, living well, taking care of your mental health, wellness. Those are the things that I want our girls to see. I don't want our girls to see us performing fights and tussles over aesthetic with non-Black women. That's not helpful. That's not helpful. And we got too many things to work on as a community to make that the crux of who we are. I think that does a disservice to our mothers, grandmothers, and ancestors who came before us and worked really hard to invest in certain pieces, to invest in the techniques and the memories that we hold on to of homemaking and of creating a good life. And I don't want that to be the lasting legacy, is that we could show we were just as good. Because, first of all, let me say this. When you have to try to prove that you're just as good, you're automatically admitting, whether you want to or not, that you think that the other is better. One of the biggest blessings, and I say this all the time and it just keeps getting affirmed, one of the biggest blessings of me growing up in Detroit around pretty much nothing but Black folks was that I never felt like I had to compete with Blackness as the centerpiece of the fight. Like, I had to compete on a lot of things, right? You got featureism, colorism, texturism, right? That's going to happen all the time. You got, are you smarter than me? You got, are you fat? Are you skinny? Right? You got all those things which happen anywhere. But because everybody was Black, it's like I could just live and be in Blackness. And so it has never even occurred to me to go back and forth with a non-Black person, and especially a non-Black woman, about the viability of my lifestyle, about the validity of my lifestyle. Are you kidding me? Are you nuts? Like, it's not happening. And I've had non-Black friends who I've entertained in my home, gone to their home, kicked it. And it has never come up, though, to be like, as good as I gotta make sure they know, dude, I'm doing me. Like, are you kidding? Again, I think it does a disservice to our foremothers. You know, when I think about the ways in which I remember Black women entertaining, whether it was debutante balls and cotillions, card parties, rent parties, baby showers, weddings, bridal showers, passes, right? After a funeral, Black folks have a way of engaging, a way of building community, a way of gathering. And it is not a foil to non-Blackness. Like, it is not designed to be the opposite. It might end up looking that way because it's so different, but it wasn't designed to be that. It's us doing us. And again, my challenge to this, and why I'm bringing this up, and why I'm using, again, our bougie queens as the centerpiece of this, is that we not existing to not be them. We are existing to be us. Like, I do what I do the way that I do it because that's what I want to do. I mentioned in an earlier episode, like, I make my own body products because when I was growing up, my grandma used to mix together my lotion because it was certain things she was going for. She wanted to smell a certain way. She wanted a certain texture. She needed the moisture and the hydration to last all day because I was going to be at school playing and be outside. Right. Like, she was just doing her. I cooked the way that I cooked because I watched people cook and saw my family and picked up certain techniques, and there are certain nutrients that I want to pull out of a plate a certain way. Like, I'm doing that because that's what I do. Black folks have our own thing. We have our own culture. And it is not, while the genesis of it may have been catalyzed by being ostracized and completely disrespected in mainstream culture, it is not because of that, and it doesn't survive because of that. It survives because it works for us, and we doing us, right? So even when I thought about all of the reasons why it's necessary to use certain types of pots and pans and things we do, it's like the food that we cook. So part of why, like, I love stove. So this is just me personally. I love stove cookware, maybe a little bit more than Le Creuset. I think I like them more for like soup pots. I have a couple of pans from them that I use for certain things and I love, but generally my biggest collection, if you will, is from Stowe. And so my Dutch ovens and cast iron pots are from them and I love them. But the way that I cook, the things that I'm making, they need the, you know, heat distribution of that type of pan. Whether it is us making heavily seasoned food or things that have a strong tomato base or even base with like turmeric and curries and stuff, like we need pots and pans that can stand up to that. That's not us trying to compete with non-Black folks. That's us knowing we cooking, right? And the stuff that we cooking requires that level of quality. And I need us to reframe back to that. Again, if you don't take nothing else away from what I'm saying, it's that the noise is always going to be coming from other people. I know you can do that. Y'all have no idea. One day I might tell the stories of this. I'd have to sit down and try to remember because I'd be dismissing it from my mind. But I've dealt with that my whole life. So it's like, I didn't know you could. I don't pay that mess no man. Because if I'm living rent-free in people's head and I'm trying to think of everything that they thought I can't do, that's them. I don't have time for that because I'm too busy living my life. Do you see what I mean? And the time that we've taken to pull all of our pots and pans out of our cabinets, line them up on the counter, stage lighting, take pictures and videos, write captions on multiple social profiles and platforms, post them up, reply to a bunch of comments, go back and forth with people to prove what? Like, this is Black women's legacy in 2025? This is what we making time for? With all that's happening in the world right now? Honey, no ma'am, no ma'am, no ma'am, that's not the move. So, leave you with this. Think about your favorite bougie Black girl, bougie Black woman from TV and film. Pay attention to the way she navigated the world as if the aesthetic she embodied was her right, not a privilege. Pay attention to the way she moves and navigates without even internalizing or even ingesting the questioning of non-Black women. They're not her problem. They're not her focus. And they shouldn't be yours either. Let me know down in the comments how you feel. What are your thoughts? And of course, like, share, and subscribe. But I really want you to sit with and reflect on this. I'm so proud of this season. I'm even excited about ending on this note because I think this is a good break to have to think about how we want to show up. And of course, like, share, and subscribe. I will catch y'all in the new season. Have a wonderful summer. See you soon. Bye.